Hello, my geeklings.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We're going to try that again. Hello, my geeklings.
Welcome back.
Hello, we're at the convention.
We are here at the convention center.
In our very first Geeks on Field trip, we are at the anime convention here in Los Angeles. Actually, Anaheim. Which aspires to be Los Angeles one day. And we are here about to register. We're not sure if they're going to let us in with a microphone, but we're going to try. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, the screaming you hear in the background is the joy and felicitation that Geeks On has successfully achieved industry pass status. That is correct. We have media passes, and we are entering the lair of the anime geek.
We did this completely on the sly. It was totally like we just snuck in. We just snuck in.
But we snuck in with industry passes. We will return to you when we have a victim to interview.
Welcome to Geeks On, a show by geeks and for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. Coming up this episode, we go to the anime convention, where we cover topics such as cosplay, we interview the voices of Robotech, and we finally answer the question, what's up with all that tentacle sex?
Welcome back, my geeklings.
Welcome to another, this is why we can't have nice things.
This is actually take two.
I screwed up.
Okay, now off mic. This is my boomstick.
There we go.
Better?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I hit a slider, and so we didn't get any audio for about a minute.
So we'll try this again.
There's nothing worse than trying to recreate the energy. Yeah. From your previous,
we're like, that was great stuff.
Yeah. We're being completely
so Matt.
Singing.
How was your week?
My week was fantastic.
Yeah. So Aaron, you started playing World of Warcraft this week.
Yeah, we had a great World of Warcraft story. I actually started for the first time World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft Virgin.
We Matt and I played for a little bit.
I know. Cruella DeVille. I can't.
We installed
a heard him squeal of delight when he made his dwarf.
See, that's why we don't play with you. We have to listen to that. But we installed a voice
Skype.
IP, Skype, and so we could chat to each other, which makes the game actually fun for me, because the whole typing...
He ain't a reader.
I have the headphones. I should probably go ahead and get the damn thing.
Yeah. I'm fine with reading all the text and the stuff that has to do with the game, but, I mean, come on. It's just... We're in an era now where we have Xbox Live, we have PlayStation 2 headsets. I mean, it's just... That's the way it is.
All the dedicated gamers have it nowadays, you know?
Although the headset that you gave me, the one with the mic, mm-hmm. the plastic on the edge of the ear cans started coming off.
Yeah.
And so the first night that I'm playing with you, I got off and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I have just black stuff covering the sides of my face. And it was plastic, so it's just stuck there. And it looked like I had put on like an artificial beard on Halloween and then just ripped it off, and it only came off in pieces.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do I have mutton chops? I mean, what's going on? It was just odd.
It's like a 6-year-old mic, that's why.
He's slowly becoming a dark elf.
Yes.
slowly
becoming a dark elf.
So, welcome back. I suppose we should start introducing ourselves.
Thank you.
My name is Aaron Hendricks. I am a writer. I'm not a writer.
I haven't been writing.
You could count.
Well, you are a writer.
I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles.
And I am Peter Robinson, and I am a writer here in Los Angeles.
I'm Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles.
I am Donald Marshall. I am a writer and video game professional, and all of us are geeks.
Okay, that was almost too geeky right there.
Try again. And all of us are
geeks.
There we go.
How was your guys' geek week?
Most excellent. I went with you, in fact, Aaron, to the Hollywood Bowl to see, what was it called? Video Games Live.
Video Games Live.
Oh, how was that?
It was the music of video games performed by the Los Angeles Symphony Philharmonic, a bunch of soloists,
a big choir. Yeah, it was
laser
pretty cool.
Show, and unfortunately, some live action.
Did they show any of the video games themselves? Like for on?
Oh yeah,
yeah. They played the we had World of Warcraft, which was amazing.
Oh, it was so good. God of War,
God of War, Halo. They screwed up.
Halo kind of fell on its face, unfortunately.
It was great, but at the very end, the guy who's mixing on the mixing board screwed up, and it went to shit. It was the last and final song.
They had a celebrity guitarist,
He gets up on stage, like the spotlight's on him. He plays a note and can't hear a damn thing.
Right. And then this cowbell has been mic'd. So when somebody's like, ting, 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 all you can hear is this cowbell.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole night.
I think we need
more cowbell. That's not the miking. That is the mixer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was the mixer, and he totally screwed up. Now, he'd done a pretty good job the entire night, and the finale song went to
It was
to
the
hell.
Very last piece of the evening.
But there was some pretty cool stuff. I mean,
yeah. They had composers of all the video game pieces flown in from all around the world.
Oh, that's cool. And some of the creators. We saw the creator of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Did they play Tetris or anything like that?
No, they didn't play Tetris. They played. There were a couple pieces I definitely felt were missing, like Pac-Man wasn't nodded to.
But those things were like little fun, jokey things.
I mean, the opening piece was a medley of all the old video game songs you know.
Right.
Right. The really old ones from the old like arcades. Joust was
22-year-old.
It went from Pong into Space Invaders into Missile Command, and so with all these things, you kind of think maybe like Donkey Kong would have been in there or Pac-Man, you know, some of the really really.
You mean Miss Pac-Man?
Oh, Miss Pac-Man.
Because Pac-Man really didn't have.
Waka waka waka.
But that was it. But
I can't stop.
But
waka waka waka. Okay.
But the second one had all the, they meet, they have the baby, you know, they had all that interlude music.
Yeah, that's
Pac-Man,
true. The very first cutscenes.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Right. That really, was that the first cutscenes?
I guess that's what it could be considered.
I don't know, Donkey Kong had cutscenes, like she would get stolen and get climbed up on the...
You're right.
But anyway, it was a cool night. We had a weird...
They had Tron.
Oh.
They had a big segment to Tron. And
I didn't think that
it.
Music was great, though.
Oh, okay, now I'm a sucker for the music of Tron. Like,
yeah.
I was talking with
Lisa. But, like, Advent Rising?
Niska came out with us. Well, actually, by sheer coincidence, Niska was going.
Lisa.
Sorry.
We're not allowed to out her.
Yeah.
More than twice.
Lisa. Lisa came out to watch the show, and we knew we both of us were going, but we didn't go together. And by sheer coincidence, she got seated directly behind us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
like,
it was
right
weird.
Behind us. But it turns out she and I, or actually her sister and I, are as big fans of Tron.
She went and bought the original Tron soundtrack on vinyl when she was younger, so she
and
was like...
And wore out the same piece I did on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Schmancy Tron lovers.
If any of you... Awesome people out there who organized that great musical event, which is traveling the country. So all of our geek listeners out there have an opportunity to hear this music as it comes to a town near you. It's a great show.
Yeah.
They have these live action clips. Live
like
action
actors
clips.
Would come out and pretend like a, it worked once.
Did they do Street Fighter?
No.
No.
Oh.
One time it worked where they were doing Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
And the guy comes rappelling down the side of the Hollywood Bowl, and there's a guy dressed as a guard kind of patrolling down below. And as he hits the ground, he makes a noise. And the guy playing the guard whips around, and a cardboard exclamation point comes whipping up up above his head.
Yeah, and he's walking around the stage completely oblivious with this exclamation point, like, hanging over his head. And then there's this box, like a cardboard box that Snake gets into and is waddling around with a cardboard box. It was pretty funny, and that's when it worked.
Yeah.
And then they tried a couple that weren't supposed to be funny, and it was sad.
Yeah, like there was a guy during Tron, there was a guy dressed as Tron standing by the conductor with a frisbee, like
battling the screen behind him.
Battling the master control program on the
no.
screen.
It was horrible.
All you
yeah.
had to do was do a down spot on him in the center, and he holds the frisbee above his head, and that would have been enough.
I gotta say, the winner of the night for me mm-hmm. was from a video game I'm not familiar with, Headhunter.
No,
I think the
I thought Advent Rising was better than that.
Advent Rising was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going to say anything bad.
And
about
I thought
that.
Mist actually was pretty
Ooh,
amazing.
They did
Mist was excellent. Mist was excellent.
Oh, that was I love that game.
But I gotta say, Headhunter had this amazing percussion track to it.
Yeah,
the drummer on it was just wailing on those drums and having a grand old time.
Timpani or what? Because I know not.
It was electric drums.
Qua?
I think it's
like a whole Devo thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we also saw
I'd never heard before.
We saw the video game pianist.
Yes, the video game pianist was there.
Yeah, and he did this Final Fantasy piece, which was he was working his ass off.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a song play. I've never seen a song that complicated in my entire life on a piano. I mean, the entire keyboard was used, and he would have to hit boom, boom, bang. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. The guy was working his ass off. It wasn't the best Final Fantasy song. But
I was really disappointed because all of my favorite Final Fantasy music is from Final Fantasy VIII.
Right.
Phythos, Lunasek. Come on. Everyone. There we go. Sing along, everyone. But they picked this obscure piece that I don't
know. There's now a big question mark above my head.
There's a... I don't know what piece they played. It was two female soloists singing kind of discordantly with each other while he banged on the piano. And he played amazingly, and they were really good singers, but I didn't get the piece.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was pretty geeky.
That was pretty awesomely geeky.
I had a 4th of July where my wife came to go to the
Pasadena. Yeah, we popped down to the Rose Bowl and went to go see these amazing fireworks.
And my wife was running late, unfortunately. She showed up and made it for the very last minute of fireworks.
Oh.
Yeah, it was literally like she walks in, 60
I'm
seconds.
Finally here. Boom, 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 boom.
Done.
Well, chick knows how to make an entrance.
Yeah. Yes, she does.
Was it good for you?
All right, let's do some news.
All right, why don't you start us there?
Okay.
Will someone out there kindly... Oh, no, never mind. Scratch that. We'll cut that out.
British scientists say carbon dioxide is turning the oceans acidic. Okay.
So stop breathing underwater, damn it.
Yes. No, stupid. This was the Britain's leading organization, the Royal Society. They said that the growing acidity is likely to harm anything, you know, like coral reefs or organisms that have skeletons, shells, hard bits that are made of calcium.
What's causing it?
It's actually the same thing that's causing global warming. It's the burning of fossil fuels.
And then it just goes in the cycle.
Now, the difference is that unlike fossil fuels, when you're talking about, or unlike global warming, when you're talking about global warming, there's these really incomplete, complex computer models, which is why people can say, no, global warming's not happening, and fight it.
Right.
Okay. With this is really, really simple and straightforward, and it's very clear that there's actually a change happening. So it's...
So maybe we can shove that in Chevron's face and say, do something, and they'll say, no.
Exactly.
Nick. Well, you know, it's not Chevron's fault entirely. It's us for buying these type of cars. So
I'd buy a hybrid if I could afford it.
Well, the thing that I heard
hybrids
about...
actually aren't that good for the environment, but it's a mindset. I believe in buying them because it's a mindset that we are putting ourselves into. The actual car is almost just as destructive as anything else, and the batteries are like chemical waste dumps. Yeah. I mean, once you get rid of that battery, it's really horrible.
Yeah, I heard the head of GM talking about the Prius. The Prius is a great idea. We're glad that it lowers emissions, but that's the best thing about it. He said basically if current consumption, let's say if everybody had a Prius today, everybody instantly had a Prius. He said inside 10 years, we'd still be using oil at the same consumption that we are, you know, now.
How so?
Purely because basically people are always going to be increasing. There are always an increasing number of people getting new cars and stuff like that. So he's like, it's not lessening the drain on our oil. It's just delaying it. So what he said, we need to find alternate sources.
But it is, because if we're
not
switching over to Prius, we're going to be at an exponentially higher rate.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's making it better, but it's only a delay. It's not
right. The greatest thing about buying things like hybrid cars is it's a stepping stone for our society to work into an alternate way of getting around.
They're talking about the hydrogen fuel cells, which are impossible right now because they're just as hard to harvest as gasoline, if not worse. But he said that's the way that GM wants to go. I mean, I thought that was actually interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
Fingernail data storage. In another of the Matt King, I love those crazy Japanese files, researchers from Tokushima University in Japan demonstrated that data can be stored in a human fingernail. The data is written onto the nail with femtosecond laser pulses and read using a fluorescence microscope. In experiments,
are we doing technobabble?
Okay, yeah, exactly. They win the technobabble for this week.
Apparently.
In experiments on a clip piece of nail, each bit of data is 3.1 microns in diameter and 5 microns apart from its closest neighboring bit. The system records in three layers at depths of 40, 60, and 80 microns. A human hair is around 100 microns thick. So,
but it records it onto what?
I mean, your fingernail.
You can record data on your fingernail, and it'll stay there. How long is it? 3 months? Is that what it is?
6 months.
6 months.
So it burns it onto the surface, like the pits?
Yeah, just like a record player. Like, so if you imagine your the top of your nails like a CD or a record player, it can be read just like any material that you burn information into.
So as long as you don't bite your fingernails, you're
fine.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I just ate my script.
I ate my own homework.
Exactly.
I just slammed the car door on months of work. Damn it.
Yeah. I love the guy who was like, he had a quote, which was, "I don't like carrying around large numbers of cards, money, and papers. I think that a key application will be personal authentication. Data stored in a fingernail can be used with biometrics, such as fingerprint authentication and intravenous authentication of the finger."
Yeah, that's stupid. I mean, come on.
All right.
Well, it sounds like an espionage thing.
Yeah,
it does. Like, for spies, that would be great.
Straight up.
You know? Right. It'd be, well, no, it would be great for a spy story.
Yeah.
But not probably for a real spy.
Probably not.
Where did I put those fingernails?
Damn, is it this finger? No, this finger?
Cut off someone's
finger
and take the information.
That could be fun.
Just pull off the fingernails, man. You have to be so inhumane.
Go, Don.
All right. Let's see. I have a article here. I had to bring this one in. It just seems so ironic to me. A mean-spirited thief has stolen a church's 109-year-old statue of the patron saint of stolen and lost things. This happened in New Zealand.
Isn't it ironic?
The thief was caught on CCTV brazenly walking off with a statue along with a box of Tesco computers for schools vouchers.
The statue was waving as it went.
No, the statue was going, yes!
Just a couple quick facts. St. Anthony of Padua is known as the patron saint of lost things, as well as protecting against shipwrecks, starvation, and poverty.
He found everyone's socks. That's how he became the patron saint.
Wow.
In one town, he found everyone's socks.
A gifted speaker, he attracted he attracted crowds everywhere he went, speaking in multiple tongues. Legend says that even the fish love to listen. So if any of you happen to catch a hot statue that's supposed to represent the patron of stolen things, please return it.
Please contact your authorities.
Yeah.
Or steal it back.
Again.
I think you should... I think that's cool. I think that should just be for all of time being stolen from the next guy.
Absolutely.
It can move him from place to place.
See, what I think is it should show up in those emails where people are taking pictures of it.
Or like the gnome.
Like the gnome. But I think it should be taking pictures next to famous stolen things. Like criminals should have it next to the Mona Lisa that was stolen.
I think it should actually make a cameo on Lost.
Okay.
I'd like that.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Speak to Dan Kim about that.
Okay, I'll talk to Dan.
Excellent.
I have a real... This is not real news, but I'd like you guys to comment on it. Or I like just make a comment on it. There was
a
man...
You have a rumor?
No. This is a man who was convicted in London. The headlines say all over... it's been all over the internet. A man convicted for chipping his Xbox. Okay. This is a modder, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what all the headlines say.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel this is a problem. This guy was not convicted for that. What this guy did was he modded a whole bunch of Xboxes.
A
lot of them. Okay. And then loaded 80 games onto the hard drive, preloaded, and would sell the Xbox for like $400 on eBay.
Mm.
He was not arrested for modding his Xbox. He was arrested for... stealing 80 games.
Okay.
And I wish these people would get this clear, because there's a problem by promoting this type of information, is that, you know, modding your Xbox is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
You should be able to mod your Xbox. Stealing games is something that's different, and you shouldn't be able to do that,
right,
and you
right.
should be convicted for that. But these news agencies aren't getting it right.
Damn,
if you're out there... BBC News.
Actually, no. I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a sec. Now,
wait.
It's the liberal media.
Why is Peter playing devil's advocate? He's always he and I are the ones always going for it.
I'm with you on this.
Peter's
one,
actually the devil. I'm just as advocate.
Oh.
Ah.
All
right. Now, last week you were basically raising a big fuss about Napster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sharing
peer to peer. Yeah,
right.
Peer to peer. I'm for peer to peer network.
What is the difference between modding your Xbox, taking the information from a game you have bought, and then selling that video game, returning that video game.
No longer. Okay, you've misunderstood. Owning it. I am for peer-to-peer. Okay. I think you should be able to swap files back and forth using peer-to-peer networks.
Okay.
I do not believe that you should steal music.
Well, no one here at GeekZone believes that.
No, but I really don't believe you should be doing that.
Actually, Aaron doesn't. He goes out and buys all
the same stuff. I buy my music.
No, Aaron thinks you should be able to swap files, not copywritten files, but
right.
Files.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. I believe you should be able to mod your Xbox. I even believe you should be able to take the games you own and put that on the hard drive.
Okay, now let me point out one thing about most video game EULAs, right?
Okay.
Which by playing the game, you have tacitly agreed to that EULA. That EULA says you are not buying that game. You do not own that game.
Okay.
You are renting that game as long as it is in your possession.
Okay.
By taking that information and putting it on your modded Xbox,
mm-hmm.
and then doing whatever you want with the game you are renting.
I don't believe that part. I'm not saying steal it. I'm saying mod your Xbox.
The license that you've agreed to.
Yeah, but you know what?
But wait, you're arguing something. We're agreeing. I don't believe that you can do anything with that game.
Okay.
I believe you can mod your Xbox. Put Linux on there. Put a web surfing program on there. Mm-hmm. Put an MP3 thing on there. I believe you should be able to put your own video game that you bought on there, if you want to,
and play it.
Yeah,
but not giving it out to other people.
Right.
What Don is saying is that
the primary usage for modding is to add 80 video games to your system,
so that you don't
have to
carry
around from your friends that you've
rented
from GameFly or whatever.
I don't believe you should do that. But I believe there's all sorts of that's the same thing about peer to peer.
Exact same argument, you know.
I know, and I think that argument's wrong. That's like saying, there shouldn't be peer to peer. You know, there shouldn't be CD burners because the primary use of CD burners is to burn music and giving it to your friends. So why have CD burners? Well, because, damn it, I want to back up my stuff on my computer.
Yep.
And I want to be able to burn the music that I have onto a CD and put it in my car because the guys who check my car in, valets, keep stealing my music every time I valet park. Wow. So I want to be able to burn that. That's my right.
Do they really do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't. I've lost 30 or 40 CDs because of that.
Yeah. Wow.
No one ever steals my CDs.
Yeah, that's because you. Have because nothing
Lion
but Nora
King.
Jones.
No one wants Lion King soundtrack.
All
right, so that's mine.
All right. So Apple is a.
Am I going to hell?
You know, just our two listeners in Soweto, South Africa, now just tuned out.
Yep.
We have two listeners? Yeah. What?
Only two iPods and so later.
Our two listeners total have just... No. So Apple's an innovator. We all know this. Okay. We've heard that Apple is trying to come up with an iPod that's also a phone.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
We also have heard that there are problems where the cell phone companies don't want to support these phones, because they make a lot of money by forcing people to
buy their phones.
By their ringtones.
Oh, really?
And their songs from them. Okay? And if they have an iTunes phone, they would be buying it from Apple.
Ah.
Yeah. Because right now, you want to buy a ringtone, it's like $4, for like a
That's
ringtone.
Some bullshit right there.
Okay. Seriously.
And if with an
99 cents story, or for 99 right. cents, you can buy a whole nice song.
Right.
For $4, you buy it a day. Ugh, it's absurd.
Okay. So what might be next? What might be next is that maybe Apple might become a actual cellular carrier.
Hmm.
That sound weird?
Is that a rumor?
Actually, it's some people have been talking about it. I'm not sure if it's a
rumor.
It's a rumor. It's a rumor.
Because I saw that there were some photos of like an iPod phone that's floating around.
No, the phone is for real.
Oh, the phone is for real.
But we're talking about them becoming a carrier. Like Sprint or Verizon.
That's a good rumor for them. It wouldn't surprise me if they started that rumor, because that's a great way to put a fire under the phone company's ass.
Heck yeah.
It's true. You know? But let me explain how this would work, though. Disney has plans to launch a family-centric wireless phone carrier. And
What?
And a lot of people are. And this is a new type of service that's called a mobile virtual network operator, or MVNO. And what
we need more acronyms.
MVM.
That's what I think.
Yes. We actually have a more acronym creator. It's an MAC. Okay. Or Mac for short. So anyway, basically the way it works is you don't put in infrastructure anymore. You use other people's infrastructure. So
right.
Disney is going to be using Sprint's service.
Right.
I think.
And you just ride on their carrier wave.
And you ride on their carrier wave. So basically Apple could do the same thing. They wouldn't have to invest in anything, and they could sell Apple branded phones and have whole Apple services.
Very interesting.
So really Disney pays a licensing fee to Sprint?
I think that's how it works, yeah.
There are a few different companies that do this. Like, my friend tried to get me in a pyramid scheme that was...
Nice,
you know,
friend.
You know, you get your... you buy your telephone service. Do you remember this? I mentioned it to you. You buy your telephone service. You get other two people to buy their telephone service from it, and you get money for that. It was a pyramid scheme. And basically, that rode on Sprint's carrier wave.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Matt.
Yes, sir. So Don will love this one. So White Wolf.
White Wolf.
That lovely company that Don loves so much.
Vampire.
Has now decided to ask for licensing fees from game organizers. So anybody who's trying to put together a LARP...
Oh, bite me!
Yes, or anything like that. Basically,
this is
now,
not true.
No, dead on true. They have to get permission in the form of a $20 per player per year license.
Whoa!
From White Wolf. White Wolf also wants you to take the license in exchange for the right to print T-shirts and other swag with the name of your own troop on it. So if you have a troop that's...
Hey, White Wolf, bite me.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I don't understand.
Bite me twice.
They want a licensing for people to play their game?
Yes.
That's like Monopoly saying every time you break out the Monopoly board, you have to pay 50 cents?
Yes.
Well, okay.
They're talking about organizing for a big group. So if those groups are saying, hey, come down to the PR, we rented some space, we're going to charge you $2 per person, you know, to come in and play the, you know, and to come into the game to just cover our costs. Of buying the pier, whatever, then you've got it.
Yeah.
Each of those people who's playing the game and the people who organize it all have to pay a licensing fee.
Okay. I understand a little bit where that comes from. For example, let's say I set up an arcade where I put a whole bunch of Xboxes, televisions, and then go rent, like, you know, or go buy five games and charge $15 for people to play it all day. I think Xbox or the people who own those games might... want to charge me a licensing fee.
Yeah, but only if you're making a profit on it. They want to do it even if you're not making a profit on it.
Nobody makes a profit.
That's why I think it's dumb. Well, first of all, they're gamers, and as we all know, we're all starving.
I mean, the real analogy would be if we had, you know, when we play Halo and we hook up a bunch of...
Right, a Halo party.
The analogy would be that the makers of Halo would say, no.
Right.
If you want to play Halo parties, you have to pay us money. You know, the reality
which is nonsense.
The reality is that these people have already paid for the source material. They paid for the books.
Right.
And
the White
extensions.
Wolf books,
and
all those things. And that's where they made their money. So the fact that they're out having fun with it, using it, you know.
That's absurd.
There's one thing I need to bring into the conversation here. Having played in a White Wolf LARP, right? Yes, I admit it. I have LARPs.
And why would... Yeah, so I'm the big nerd on the review?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's absurd.
Okay, go on.
Okay.
Nerd.
There are independent LARPs, and then there are World of Darkness LARPs. The independent LARPs are like a bunch of people who get together and play the game. Right?
Okay.
The World of Darkness LARPs are all hooked in. They actually communicate with each other across the country.
Okay.
And there's mass plots generated, I think, by White Wolf.
Yes.
So if White Wolf is saying is if you want to play in our LARP, the one we are generating storylines for, the ones that we support across
the
country, then you have to pay us.
Well, okay, I have their actual statement if you want it.
Say it.
In brief, White Wolf is requesting that those who wish to charge players to play White Wolf games beyond standard fees at a convention attain a license to do so from us. We request this both in order to ensure that we can provide a consistent level of support and play experience to those fans looking to play our games and in order to protect our rights in terms of trademark and so forth.
So you want to turn a profit, you got to give us a cut.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, but it's still absurd. I mean, come on.
I think it's going
to
be very hard.
Role-playing games are dying, and these guys need to, like, face the fact that they need to get people to play their game, whether they like it or not, because their books are...
I don't know if you can say that role-playing games are dying.
Well, White Wolf was the last...
I think there's an ebb and flow to all things, and role-playing games are so new... It's hard to figure out any kind of pattern.
I don't know. Yet. White Wolf was the last infusion that I felt into the role-playing industry. I mean, D&D is down. It only survived
actually,
because...
D&D is back up right now.
Well, yeah, but it's only because Hasbro bought it, and Hasbro doesn't care. They just basically... They're the Borg.
Most game stores around the world are gone. And
right, but what I'm saying on a sociological level, mm-hmm. there's an ebb and flow to all things. Games,
okay.
politics, religion, it doesn't matter.
All right, so in 20 years, the Dungeons & Dragons might be big again.
It may be big again, it may be dead. I don't know, it's too new.
But White Wolf needs to survive this ebb.
Yeah.
Well, they were also saying, though, that they were doing it to protect their trademark, which if everyone's using their stuff for free and able to, you know, then it might be a legal issue. I'm not sure, I don't understand the legalist aspects of it, but if they don't do this, perhaps they're giving up some of their rights, you know, by allowing it to continue.
I really doubt they'll get a cent, but you know, whatever.
They have a final thing is, I do understand that there's going to be resistance to this policy. Many people have run or played in a wide variety of pay-for-play games, especially live-action games, using a White Wolf setting or system without any intention of infringing our rights. I hope that our efforts to support the various licensed games, listing on our website, promotion on mailing lists and in newsletters, promotional giveaways and prize support, etc., will ultimately outweigh that what may feel at first like an effort to stifle fan enthusiasm. They know what they're doing.
Good spin doctor.
Yeah.
Right. Dumb. Next.
All right.
And we have to hurry up because we're already at half hour.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
Okay,
run, Luke, run.
In Japan, a publisher is basically trying to put together what sounds to me like the geek equivalent to Mensa. A Japanese publisher will hold a national qualifying exam for self-confessed nerds on their knowledge of comics, video games, and other obsessive hobbies in a bid to smash prejudice and nurture a so-called geek elite.
We can actually get
a
license.
What a great way to smash prejudice, to create a geek elite. The magazine Elfix is published every other month to offer information on the culture of the otaku, which translates loosely as stay at home, and is usually applied to Japanese men fanatic about all-consuming pastimes. Elfix said on the website...
Stay at home.
Yep.
We call Elfix those shut-ins.
Elfix said on the website that the otaku market is becoming a huge business that Japan can share with the world. Duh. However, how is society treating us, it asked, arguing major magazines portray otakus as, like, rare animals. It would not be too much to say the new century is an era of otakus. Yes, it's time for us to stand up. To this end, we must become otaku elites, armed with correct knowledge, it said.
We will stand up, but not leave our houses.
So you can become a certified geek.
Yes.
Yes, we can get our actual geek licenses and then get them revoked.
Well, apparently this is not going to be given out casually. Somewhere in this article, it basically says that they're going to be, of all the contestants that enter, 100 will be selected.
So if they, like, see you with a girl, do they, like, rip the stripe, the geek stripes off you?
How dare you?
Only 100 are going to be... 5 geek enter, 1 geek leave.
There can only be 100!
Well, I like to bring up something that I've heard before, but I thought that it might have been, like, an urban legend.
Mm-hmm.
But this article was written about... the massively multiplayer online sweatshops that farm gold. Have you heard about this?
What?
Well, there's these websites.
Oh, yeah.
There's websites that you can go and buy gold from.
Right.
Like, you can go to World of Warcraft, spend $50, and they'll give you, like, you know, 100 gold.
And it's a sweatshop?
But they have to get that gold somehow.
Right.
And it takes a lot of time and effort to get 50 gold. So what they do is they go to China and Indonesia and a couple of other places, and they pay people like 37 cents an hour to play World of Warcraft for 10 hours a day and just farm gold.
Yeah.
And they
This is not new. It's been going on for a while for a lot of different video games.
There's a guy here. This guy was, his name is Smooth Criminal. That's his online, or his name. He made $1.5 million from Star Wars Galaxies alone last year.
Mm-hmm. What? Really?
Yep.
Shut him down.
Yep. And
these people advertise in gaming magazines. You know, whatever you want. Lucre, Guild, Gil.
A lot of them, what they do is they set up macro. They set up these macro bot things where your character just attacks and attacks and attacks, and you don't have to have anybody. And then they set up a macro for like a cleric to heal, and they just set them in an area and let them run around without control. And then they have people monitoring, because GMs show up and will ask them, hey, are you a real person? If they don't respond, they kick you out, because they can tell that you've been on for a month.
Right.
So they, you know, a lot of times what these people are doing is just monitoring 50 characters and responding to GMs to say, no, I'm a real guy. And then they'd set up a macro again. But some of them are there just playing the game and hacking and slashing.
Oh,
so anyway, it is a real thing. You can read this article. We'll put it, I swear, this week I'll put links up. it'll be there. It's really weird. Check
That's
it out.
Odd.
That is interesting.
Right. Yeah, they've been doing it for Evercrack forever.
But they can't just hack and slash. They've got to go and search the bodies and get...
Yeah, they do all that.
So it's a macro that'll automatically do
all
that.
Yeah, you can do that with the macros on World of Warcraft.
Wow. Okay, I have a bunch of quick headlines.
Okay.
German and U.S. scientists are now collaborating on a project to reconstruct the Neanderthal genome.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting.
That's right.
Why?
I don't know. You know?
You love those. Why are we doing this?
An astrologer sues NASA for deforming his horoscope.
I love that one.
That's great.
He claims that Deep Impact, the probe which just hit the comet Tempel 1 on Saturday, deformed his horoscope, and he's seeking $300 million.
That's a great one.
He's an asshole. Aaron, wait. Aaron's got a theory about this, and I think it's a genius theory about Deep Impact.
The real mission for that?
Yeah.
I believe that the reason why they spent that much money to send a probe and hit that piece of rock out there, mm-hmm. I think the government pitched in money. I think it was an experiment to see if it was possible to target an incoming asteroid that might hit Earth.
It's not a bad idea.
And I think that the reason why that money was spent is to do a test to see if you could target with maybe a missile or some device.
If there's
something moving toward us, if it was possible to hit a target dead on that small.
Because it's not easy to hit something like that.
No, it's not easy. And they did it. And I have a feeling that was one of the big mission statements.
One of the big selling points. Yeah.
That's just a personal theory of mine.
Yeah, but I think it's a very really good personal theory.
And in fact, the name of the mission is Deep Impact, mm-hmm. which is the name of that movie about a rock colliding.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. Got a couple more. Man says he owns the word stealth. Leo Stoller trademarked the word stealth, and he sues people for using it. He's sued websites such as Stealth Disco, which some people put up a
that's a great website,
a little comic thing, Stealth Disco, where they would get behind people who had no idea they were doing it, and they would do disco moves.
It's not a
silently.
Comic,
huh?
It's not a comic. It's
no,
real.
No, it's just some real people that did it for the fun of it.
And you can submit it.
I want to see that.
Yeah,
I showed it to you like 3 years ago.
So he sued them. I think they had to close it down because of him. Actually.
Oh, please.
There was a site, Steal This Email, but it could also be read as Stealth Is Email. He sued them. Typically, he settles for cash.
See, that's what he's doing. He's smart. He's not going to court on any of these cases.
No. And he's in a battle right now for the movie Stealth.
Yeah.
And that's what...
I hope they take him...
All it's going to take is somebody with more money than him, because what he's doing is he's probably got a lot of money, mm-hmm. or enough money. He's threatening to... it's poker.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm going to outspend you, so you will lose. So you might as well just throw me $5,000.
Right.
That's what he's doing.
He's saying, if you can give me $3,000 or you can spend $25,000 on a court case.
Right. Now, what he's now doing is attempting to hit a studio who has more money than him. And they could say, we will outspend you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, make your move.
And they might break his his whole deal.
Yeah,
nice.
Sunscreen may actually be bad for you.
Yeah.
There's a new study that says...
Along with broccoli, asparagus, and life.
Yeah.
Air.
Well, there's a new study that says basically that vitamin D is a really strong cancer fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best source of vitamin D, because it's very hard to get into your body, is the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they say that if you spend 10 to 15 minutes a day getting sun without sunscreen, that could actually be very good for you.
Right.
Now, if you're going to go out and you're going to spend the whole day out in the sun, you should use sunscreen. But right. 10 to 15, good.
Otakus, you're screwed.
Man is arrested for illegally using Wi-Fi. A man was, these people saw that there's some dude sitting in a car outside their house. And they, every time they walked past him, he acted kind of funny, kept closing his computer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was surfing porn. And he was using their website. So they called the cops and he got arrested for this. Apparently, it's a big problem that, you know, a lot of people don't secure their websites. And it's been used for people getting child porn, hacking, death threats, illegally order stuff with someone else's credit card information. Hmm. So a big problem if you have an unsecured website, you might want to put a password on it. And last thing is Battlestar starting back up.
Wee-hee.
Next Woo-hoo. Friday.
Excellent.
All right. Should I close it out unless you guys got other things?
I'm done.
I have one quick discussion.
Okay, cool. Pixar artists have launched a new indie comic company. And they're going to open it up at the next Comic-Con, so you can check it out. It's going to be really, really neat.
Smart.
It's a bunch of their artists, and they've got just some great things. They've got Colossus by Mark Andrews and Rose and Isabel by Ted Mathet.
Maybe we can go get an interview with them.
Yeah, that would be really cool because it's pretty fantastic.
Well, I don't have any news articles because I assumed somebody else would bring this in. And, well, basically they caught the Sasser guy.
Oh, yeah. He's been caught for a while, but he's...
Well, he's been convicted.
Convicted. So. Yeah, they convicted him. Yeah.
And he got, like, a slap on the wrist.
Well, because he was convicted as a minor.
He was 17 when he
did it. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they arrested
now.
Him just before his 18th birthday, so...
What is all of this?
Why you know that the head? Virus that knocked down, like, a million...
Right.
Caused billions of dollars of damage across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 17-year-old kid.
Sounds like my friend Casey. Hey, Casey.
How far are we?
42.
This is our extra long...
Extra long.
Geeks on. We don't know how to shut up.
Right. This is our extra long Anime Expo.
Anime Expo!
Anime!
So as you heard at the beginning of this show, we did go to the Anime Expo real quickly. We ran down there, got in as press.
Yeah, well, we snuck in. You guys were like, oh, we want to... Yeah. These guys were all like, we don't want to do it. We don't want to just sneak in. Come on,
we were going to pay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get caught.
I couldn't believe how much it cost. They wanted to charge $30 a ticket, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's BS right
there.
That's
a lot of money.
Especially for what it actually was. I mean, I could see that for like E3. Well, and E3 is like $300 or something.
Yeah.
You know, but this was obscene.
Obviously,
I was like, come on.
We're out of touch with how much things cost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember
back in the day. Poor starving artists in Los Angeles.
I would spend $30 to go to see E3.
$300.
But anyway, it was very cool. We saw all sorts of people, and we've got some interviews coming up here, and we'll talk about them. The first one, we saw the...
105th Legion?
501st.
Yeah, the Star Wars guys were out there.
We have talked about them on our show in the past. They're the ones who do such amazing costumes that they get called up and go all over the country, and I think they said all over the world now, to be in people's fan films about Star Wars.
And you've got to listen to Don, because Don slid in there like Geraldo Rivera. I mean, like... Like, I didn't know Don had interviewing skills, and he just kind of went in there and was like...
Whoosh. Yeah, this was our first interview. So here it is, the Star Wars fans... what is it?
501st.
501st, yeah. 501st.
Okay, so last week, after we finished our show, we all jumped into Pete's wonderful mystery van and drove on down to the Anaheim Convention Center.
I got to be Scooby.
He did.
Okay. Loinks!
Loinks! Oh, anime!
Scooby.
I don't want to be Daphne again.
Yeah, well.
I was having to All right, so it's the Anaheim Convention Center across from Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into the Anime Expo.
Yeah, crazy, crazy.
It's now, this is our first time. Oh, this is almost all of our first time at any kind of convention of this type.
Yeah, right? We were virgins.
Yeah, I know. For geeks, that's sad. But
I
know.
We were
okay.
Virgins. Now. Well, I've been to a few. I've been to a Xena convention once. And,
oh, my God.
Well,
what?
I had a friend who flew in from Boston to see it, and she wanted to go, so I went with her.
Uh-huh.
Shut up. Don't mm-hmm. judge me. And Aaron has not yet been to a Star Trek convention, but we will fix that one.
Oh, I'm going. I'm totally going.
Oh, yeah.
But this day was our day to explore the wonderful new world of anime.
Yeah.
Something the four of us know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we drove past the main gates, and what's the first thing we see? All right.
501st Legion. Was it?
No. Well, no. Even before we get there.
Hundreds and hundreds of kids
right.
in outfits.
Yeah.
All waiting to get in.
All waiting to get in. Long lines, you know.
Every anime character you can imagine. Some non-anime characters. And some people who just decided they kind of wanted a costume that might be in an anime.
Yeah.
I think there were some guys there who just wanted to dress up as a chick, too. For no reason.
Yeah. But I think most of them were... They were all kind of surly about it. You notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a chick, damn it.
Yeah, they're like wearing a little mini skirt, like, you know, fishnet stockings, high heels, and they're walking along like a truck driver.
Yeah,
you know?
They don't look... They were truck drivers. No one smiles. They all kind of, like, give this pouty, like, I'm cool look, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like goth people in drag, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
So we saw all sorts of cool stuff there.
We got cosplay. We got people designing costumes. We talked to Chase Masterson a la Star Trek.
Oh, all Star Trek fans. Even non-Star Trek fans, this woman's just cool. You got to hear her. Mm-hmm.
And she had those headshots with her wrapped in the flag.
Oh, yeah.
Schmancy.
You can't tell in the interview that I just thought was so funny. This woman is so masterful and has been interviewed so many times that halfway through our interview, she actually just grabbed the microphone out of our hands and started talking, leaned over and started talking to someone next to her.
Yeah, but did it so smooth you can't even hear it. It's like silk when she grabbed the microphone.
And she's really good. In the middle of the interview, she'll turn and smile when the camera's about to take a picture. It's very interesting.
Yeah, she's good about knowing
she's
that. Well, you know, she's good about knowing that there's photographers out there that will snap a shot in mid sentence of her,
right?
Yeah. And
so
then put that
like
right on. Yeah, so you look like ass, and then put that in the paper. That's how all those shitty tabloids get those great photos.
Yep.
So she knows when the camera's going off, she needs to stop and at least turn. Yep. I mean, you know,
okay,
it looks strange when you're there, but you know why. I mean, she's not a dummy.
But to our geek fans out there who live in places where you can't necessarily hang out with geek friends all the time, where you don't have a huge geek community. Imagine going to a place for the first time you can just totally...
Let it all hang out.
Unabashedly geek out.
Yep.
Just to every imaginable extreme with people who are matching you step by step.
Including a 5'2" predator.
Yeah, that was very fun.
Well, yeah, that was one of those places where I felt that I could... If I went on full-on geek that I was comfortable with, that...
No one would notice.
No one would notice me. People were out geeking me by thousands.
Fade into the background.
Yeah, I would fade into the background.
We were all sadly out geeked.
Well and truly.
And you know what? We may make fun of some of these people in our small way, but you know what?
We love them.
We love them all.
Yeah.
This thing was glorious.
Yep. We talked to the folks from Robotech. We talked to the voices of some of my favorite Robotech people.
Listen to Matt. Absolutely geek out.
Oh, yeah. Just drooling on the mic.
And we found out all about the different types and genres of anime,
including anime porn.
Yeah,
exactly.
There we go. We answered Aaron's favorite question.
Yep.
What's with all that tentacle sex?
Aaron even got to look into that cosplay stuff he was so interested in.
Yeah,
that's right. On that note, let's
check it out.
Check it out.
We are here with John Taylor of the 501st Legion. You may remember us talking about them. They are the group of Star Wars enthusiasts who have done such an incredible job with their costumes that they're often called in to do fan films and all sorts of things all across the state and across the country?
Yes, correct.
Is that correct?
Around the world, actually.
Around the world. Excellent. So what are you doing here today at the Anime Expo, and what are your impressions of it?
Sure. This is about, the sixth year we've been at Anime Expo, and we're here today to promote awareness around pediatrics causes for the City of Hope Hospital Hospital located in Duarte. So we're here raising awareness with information, asking for donations, and Anime Expo also makes us the beneficiary of the charity auction, which is held Sunday afternoon. So City of Hope receives all the proceeds for pediatric cancer and research.
Excellent, excellent. So just so we know, do you have a website or something people could go to if they wanted to donate?
They can go to www.cityofhope.org, and they can make an online donation there, and then through the Garrison, they can learn more about our organization as well.
Excellent. Now, as a Star Wars enthusiast, what are your impressions on the Anime Expo? Have you seen anything? Is there anything here we can't miss?
You know, I'm a big anime fan as well, and that's kind of how we got the invite way back when to show up at this event. So there's so much here. The artists come from Japan. So for me, you get a lot of merchandise assembled, which is neat because there's a wide variety. But GOFA has an exhibit right there. Some of the top illustrator artists in Japan have works, original works on display. There's another group that has some original Cowboy Bebop cells that are just stunning that aren't for sale, but to be able to see those in person is extraordinary. And then the guest panels are great because you get to hear them talk about what their creative ideas are, what they came up with it, or the voice actors talking about how they visualize the character. So there's just too much to see in 4 days. There's not enough time.
Excellent. Thank you very much, John, and best of luck in your fundraising here.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I like him because he was sort of the promo guy, and he was like, well, you should go see this, go see this, go see this. He was like on it.
Yeah. I really wish that we could, I wish we were television right now so you could see the costumes these guys were wearing.
Well, actually, we have some pictures.
We have some pictures that we're going to put up. We've got, pictures of us, which I hope everyone is not disappointed.
And Princess Leia.
We're about to lose all of our female listeners.
Yeah, everybody's going to run for the doors.
Run for the doors. Princess Leia. We have pictures of Aaron and Dawn with Princess Leia.
Yeah, she's got me in a...
That woo! Is Dawn, not Jabba the Hutt. Dawn.
She's cute.
She's a cutie.
She's really got me
wrapped around with a chain.
Chain wrapped around
your
neck.
She's in her slave girl costume.
Yes.
Yeah, she's
slave girl.
My girlfriend was like, what is Aaron doing with that girl? She's married. It's funny.
Hey, it was for... the show,
right,
honey. It was for the show.
He was throwing himself on top of one for all of us.
So we also had a lot of, there were costumes everywhere, and we also got some interviews with some costumers. That's what we have here.
Wait. Okay, are these the first people? The woman as the vampire?
Yeah.
All right, so I see this woman as a vampire, and the guy dressed as Gundam, and I love Gundam. So I run over, and as I'm in the middle of the interview, my brain goes completely blank. Just dead of questions, and then all of a sudden Don shoots in and Aaron shoots in with questions, which I thought was great, because it kind of came in my, like, ask the good questions, Matt. Oh, okay, good.
Right. Anyway, it's pretty cool. These guys did a lot of work in their costumes.
Hey, this is Matt, deep in the heart of the convention again for Geeks. We have here...
Sarah.
And...
Mark.
And they are some of the best costumes we've seen here so far. You're dressed as?
I'm dressed as Elf from the Battle Angel manga series.
Excellent. Excellent. And you are?
I'm dressed up as the Buster Gundam from the series Gundam Seed.
Okay, you guys, we'll put pictures on the website as to these costumes. They're quite amazing. What's your favorite anime?
Battle Angel and Vampire Hunter D.
Okay. And you?
Dot Hack and Gundam.
How long have you guys been coming to the convention?
This is my third time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my second.
Really? What's your favorite thing here to do other than dress up like this?
The shopping for all the anime stuff.
Uh-huh. Acting like an idiot when my girlfriend's not around.
That's excellent. Thanks, guys, very much.
Nice, Matt.
I know.
Making him look like...
What do you like to do when you're not dressed like... this.
Now, by the way, what she was wearing was this very skimpy little leather outfit that was pretty risque. It was probably the most risque thing
the
we
most
saw
risque
there.
One, yeah.
Yeah. So.
And what he was wearing was Tupperware.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So
yeah,
it was
his
very well arranged Tupperware.
He spent some time on his costume.
His costume was pretty cool. You know, although her lack of costume was interesting too.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah. The next interview, we actually went and found some people who sold costumes, and they helped define what cosplay is and what all these people were doing there in costume.
This was Aaron's goal. He wanted you to know what cosplay was.
Oh, by the way, we should just mention, you know, that what this place looks like when it comes in. I mean, I don't think we've actually set the scene for people.
Yeah.
There's booths everywhere, but what's really interesting is that around you, there are people in costumes all over the place.
Everywhere.
I mean, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Walking dressed as, you know,
dressed as Tetris, for God's sake.
Yeah, as all sorts of things. And we'll have all sorts of pictures on the website. Yeah. So
for those of our Geeks On fans out there who don't know us that well, basically, most of us are not anime geeks. We don't really know the world of anime very well. So
right.
This is definitely our first foray.
I tried to get Lisa to maybe show up.
Is she an anime geek?
She's more of an anime person. Oh. I thought it would be good to have someone a little bit more into that genre, because I'm clueless on it. So anyway,
I know a little.
So we asked a lot of questions for beginners. So some of you big anime fans that are listening to this
will mock us roundly.
Yeah, probably mock us, but we're gonna catch up to you one day, because you know I'll go see some more after
Just
this.
Just you wait.
This is Aaron. I'm at cosplayoutfits.com. And
my name is Vicky.
Hello.
Michelle.
Okay, well, first of all, what is cosplay for our listeners who don't know what it is?
Well, cosplay is dressing up as your favorite characters, whether it be anime or sci-fi, and you stay in character through when you're wearing your outfit. That's basically it.
So you stay in character. And how does one get into it? I noticed that you have all sorts of costumes here. Are people mostly buying these things, or they make their own? How does that work?
Well, the hardcore cosplayers, they make their own outfits, but we're kind of where starter cosplayers come to, and we have like affordable outfits for them to buy. And like people, if you want, they wanted to start cosplaying, they can come to us and purchase outfits.
You can also augment them by buying a costume or start, you know, creating your own costume and then augmenting it with small purchases or larger purchases as you see fit.
And what characters do you guys like dressing up as?
Gothic Lolitas.
Gothic Lolitas.
I see. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And people can go to www.cosplayoutfits.com to get more information. That's correct?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aww.
Gothic Lolitas.
Yeah, Gothic Lolitas.
We couldn't figure out what they were saying when we were actually there.
And it's not cosplay. It's cosplay.
Cosplay.
Yeah. They're cute. They're
like
cute.
Bill Cosby.
Wait until you see the photographs. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Speaking of which, we actually have some. I was surprised how many women were there. I would say more than half.
More than half.
Were women at that place.
Wait. What was this? Seems to be a brand of geek that attracts women, though.
Yeah.
You know, it seems more female friendly than a lot of the other brands of
geek. What was it that you saw these girls wandering around like their mother trailing them?
Oh yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah, I turned around and there was this very cute, normal looking person. And then I realized why, because it's the mother, you know.
Oh.
And she's following her girls who are freaking out. They're like, you know, they're young girls who are just like nee, 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 completely freaking out. And she has this look of horror. Absolute horror on her face as she's looking around at people walking around dressed as demons and all sorts of things. It was really interesting.
What I thought was very interesting was some people's choices of costume.
Yes.
I live in Hollywood. I'm no stranger to seeing people in drag on the street. But the sheer volume of guys wearing female anime character costumes surprised the hell out of me. And I don't think it was... Most of them, shall we say, were not portraying a female character. They were kind of stumping around with their girlfriend.
And we didn't see Manfei. Manfei is kind of a famous... Well, we also had a lot of people... We saw people dressed as video game characters. The next people, this woman dressed up as a Final Fantasy woman. She had an amazing costume.
Folks, I mean, I know not all of you are listening to this near a computer. Go to your computer, check out this woman's costume. It was amazing.
Yeah, straight out of Final Fantasy. And the other girl who looked kind of like Aoi from Virtua Fighter.
I thought so too.
That's how she had her costume. It was really a neat sort of kimono.
Yeah, and she made her own. That was like
they
not
both
a character.
Did. They both designed their own. That was great.
Yeah.
How you doing? This is Matt back again, and I'm with...
Kay.
And...
Sirian.
Excellent. And you guys are dressed as...
Lulu.
And from?
Final Fantasy.
And?
And this is a self-designed original costume. It's gothic.
Could you describe it?
It's based on the Japanese tradition and combined with the Korean tradition.
So somewhat of a kimono style on the top? Did you, what did you use for fabrics to design it?
Oh, I just choose some hard fabric like this. Because it makes the costume to look stand up, not... stick to the skin.
Ah, okay. How many years have you guys been coming to the convention?
It's our second year.
Second year? Second year here?
Yeah.
Did you guys dress up last year as well?
Yeah.
Oh.
But we have simpler costume last year.
What were they?
This is Shinsengumi.
From which anime?
From Peacemaker and Kenshin.
Excellent. And are you guys lifelong anime fans?
Yes, yeah, of course. Okay. We are going to cosplay Trinity Blood tomorrow.
Excellent. All right. Thanks you guys so much.
Final Fantasy X, which is Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
All I've got to say.
Okay, she was really sweet.
Yeah, she was so sweet. Come on now.
Next, we actually have the Robotech series here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt did all the interviews on this one because Matt freaked when we passed by the booth.
Robotech!
Freaks.
Yeah, so we have
the, wet himself.
These are the voices of many of the different characters.
Yeah, yeah, actually, the first one was the guy who's in charge of the property.
Yeah, he's the lead guy in charge of the property
here in the United States.
Here in the United States, yeah.
And then we moved on.
He seemed
to
a neat guy.
Yeah, Tom.
He was really nice.
He's a really, really smart
guy. And then
guy.
Who were these other people?
Then we had the voice Chase Masterson from Star Trek as well.
Chase Masterson.
Yeah. Who is the Baccarat girl or whatever she was?
She was like the hottie.
She was the hottie.
Quarks, one of Quarks.
Yeah, she worked in Quark's bar, and she's going to be on.
Was hottie nothing? Is hottie?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the show.
My goodness.
Yeah. She'll be on the new Robotech coming up. And then my favorites, we had Rick Hunter and Roy Foker, who are the icons, the Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, as it were.
Neither of which were as hot as Chase Masterson.
No.
I mean, they looked okay in the bikinis, but I thought really she pulled it off better than they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the slave costume.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Matt. I'm here with
Tom Bateman
from Harmony Gold, basically, who handles the Robotech properties. I've been a Robotech fan for eons. It was the first... It's the first anime that I ever saw. It blew me away. It's the first thing that ever made me cry on television. Could you talk a little bit about the franchise?
Well, I started just like everyone else as a fan running home from school in junior high. You know, that was my destination. I had to get home to watch Robotech. It was so different from anything else that I had seen on television. I remember talking with my brother, like, this was the show that I've been waiting for.
Was it the Macross Saga that got you in the first place?
Well, I mean, the Macross Saga was the first thing. I think the first thing that grabbed me is that, wow, they're killing people in this thing. This is real. It was so beyond what was on television at the time, and I was absolutely hooked. Everything else after that just paled in comparison.
Now, why did it disappear off of television for a while? Like, the series and everything disappeared off television. I remember basically only seeing a few Invid episodes and then it was gone. What happened?
Well, as far as I know, that back then it showed full through 85 episodes, which actually is 17 weeks, through once or twice in its totality. And sometimes stations would get confused as to how many episodes they have, because usually when they buy a syndication package, it's 65 episodes. But Robotech was actually 85 episodes. I remember in Los Angeles, they switched, they went to episodes 1 through 65, and then all of a sudden went back to episode 1, and then I called up the station, and a lot of people called up the station and said, wait a second, there are 20 more episodes, you idiots forgot to play the rest of them, and so then they started back up again. But
now, was this breaking up the Japanese series that originated it?
Robotech was a combination of the three shows, and so they didn't actually cut any episodes, they still I think if you count the original Japanese episodes, it goes up to 84 episodes, and then they combined and made one combination episode to make 85 for Robotech. So they never cut out anything from the Japanese, but they obviously modified the story to make it into Robotech.
So what's the future for Robotech now?
Well, we are finally doing, after 20 years, an official sequel to Robotech called Robotech the Shadow Chronicles.
Really? What was that again?
Robotech the Shadow Chronicles, and that will hopefully come out by the end of the year. We're on schedule for that, but it is really an animated sequel to Robotech, and we're continuing the story after the last episode.
Oh, fantastic. Is this going to be on television?
It's going to be slated for release direct to video, and which I think would be the quickest way to get it into the hands of the fans who really want it, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
And what are you guys showing off here today?
Well, right here at the booth, we're showing off the new merchandise that we have that's just gotten some great response. response. And we're also having a big panel this afternoon to premiere Robotech Shadow Chronicles, to do an exclusive preview. And so that's going to be very exciting.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Bye. Hey, it's Matt and Don. We're here with Chase Masterson.
Chase Masterson!
All right, yeah, great. Exactly. Our crossover geek here, we have from Robotech, doing voiceover for Robotech, and for Deep Space Nine. Hey, Chase.
Matt and Don! Oh, my God, it's you!
That makes me so happy.
I just watched you on the movie with Bruce Campbell last week. And I loved it. You did a brilliant job.
Thank you. Bruce is a really good guy. We had a lot of fun working on it. The movie is, not one of our... Let me just put it this way. I think someday EW will do a feature on movies Chase Masterson should not have done. And that may be one of them. But Bruce is great. He was a great guy. In fact, he's going to be a guest of mine on a radio show that I'm doing.
What's the website?
It's thefandom.com. It's thefandom.com. And he's going to be my guest on July 18th. We interview genre celebrities, too, and we'll have to work with you guys on this. This is fun stuff that you do.
Fantastic. So what are you here promoting today?
I am promoting Robotech The Shadow Chronicles. It's going to be a lot of fun. Due out at the end of this year. And the news is going to hit in the next couple of days about who's releasing it. Big company.
Really? Okay, full on television, or what's it going to be on?
Well, we're doing a movie, and then the deal is apparently that we'll have several more movies after that, and then I don't know exactly what route they're going to take with it, but it's we've got a really big distributor, so.
Fantastic. What's the name of your character?
I play Janice. I am, surprisingly, half human and half alien technology.
Wow. Wow.
Your character up there?
This is me right here. Wait. Yes, that's me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're a sexy monkey.
Go figure. She's pretty terrifying, I must admit. She's not bad when she becomes human either. Here, boys, I don't even know what to say. It's embarrassing. I hope I have a new toy. I've heard tell that I'm going to have a new toy coming out.
Oh, really?
Do you have an action figure for anything else?
I have an action figure for Star Trek, which is very cool because actually it came out, I have a son who was in eighth grade when it came out, so it was very like, cool, is this your mom? Cool. Is she coming to pick you up? Cool.
So what's the difference between acting for something like Robotech and acting for Deep Space Nine?
It's really interesting because there's a lot of crossover, actually, a lot of crossover in fandom and you know, who watches the shows. And, Robotech is a lot like DS9 was in terms of its relevance. It has a lot of social relevance, I think, and the original Robotech was very, just very allegorical. I think it spoke to a lot of people in ways that regular, anime doesn't always. A lot of anime does, but, regular animation doesn't always. It's just entertaining, but Robotech is a little deeper than that, and it's really nice to be part of that.
You sound like an anime fan as well. What's your favorite anime, if you have one? I don't know.
I like anime. I mean, I always liked I liked Final Fantasy. I don't know if that's appropriate to say. I mean, I don't know what's in
it. It counts. Who do we think it counts?
Hands down.
All right.
Yeah. My son's an anime fan. Some of them, though, I mean, I love Hayao Miyazaki's work, all of it, and I followed him for years and years before he was popular over here. Yeah. I really love a lot of what he did.
Fantastic.
Here you go. So one question all us geeks want to know. You had severe exposure to the Star Trek geek. Now you're having extreme exposure to the anime geek. And noticed any differences so far?
Not a lot, I have to say, especially with questions like that. Sorry. Vlad, I love you guys. No, come on. What am I supposed to say? The enthusiasm is very nice to be a part of. It really is. I can't even tell you. I mean, it's easy, to laugh about anime fans and Trek fans and stuff, but what actor wouldn't give their left leg to be a part of something like this, right? Like, take Don here. Take Dan here. Okay, take Dan here.
I
just met Dan.
Closest friends in the world.
It's
we are.
Beautiful. I just met Dan, but Dan was part of the original Robotech, and he is part of this one, too, as well. Why don't you talk to him for a while?
I'm going to talk to them for a while so that you don't have to.
Did
you hang around?
Whatever.
Friends?
Bye, you guys. This is me signing off. Dan will be on later if you'd like, and much love. God bless, guys. Thanks for hanging out.
Name of your website again.
ChaseMasterson.com. Check it out for all of your geek needs. Bye.
Thank you so very much.
And I'm here with Tony Oliver, the voice of Rick Hunter. So I'm about to geek out completely.
Rick Hunter!
Excellent. How did you get started off in this?
In anime voiceovers?
Yes.
I was a desperately out-of-work actor who answered an ad in Dramalog asking for people who could play under 18 but were over 18 and had experience. So I did what any other red-blooded American actor would do. I lied. And I auditioned, and I got the part, and one thing led to another, and that eventually led me to Robotech and everything else, which really what started my career.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, Rick Hunter is one of the icons of not only Robotech, but of geekdom in general. I know I'm one of the fans. So what have you noticed in the response?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, it's 20 years since we did the original show, and to be called up to do a movie 20 years later, and come to these conventions, as I do from time to time, and it's just really an amazing thing. I find the fans to be passionate and fun, and they really like what we do. It makes it more fun to do what we do, and especially because I took a little vacation from anime for about 10 or 12 years, and when I came back to it, a lot had changed, but people still like Robotech and like what we did. So,
is Rick going to be one of the new characters in Robotech The Shadow Chronicles?
Well, Rick is in The Shadow Chronicles.
Excellent!
But I can't reveal how and why.
Oh,
the villain.
He can't give any spoiler.
He's gone to the dark side.
I can tell you that he's not the main character in the show. So there's new characters that are very good and very exciting. It's a good script.
What did you?
You're doing the voice. You're going to be the main character. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
See, there it is. What did you think of Robotech when you originally went in? Were you like, "What the heck is this?" And then it turned into something?
On Robotech?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was brought into essentially it was a live audition. And they told me that I was going to come in to do just a couple of episodes of this strange little show called Macross, and it's not going to go anywhere. And so we did our three episodes, and a couple of 3 months later, they called me up and said, you need to come in. We now have a big, long series, and we're going to be working forever. So, at first we thought it was nothing, and then suddenly, boom, it exploded. And
what do you think about, do you have kids?
Yes.
What do you think about the difference between Robotech as opposed to the anime and the animation that's on television nowadays?
Well, it's a completely different genre. I mean, back then, especially all animation, but especially the Japanese animation, was fairly high-end 2D hand-drawn art cells.
Right.
What's going on now in both anime and standard animation is it's all either computer-assisted with 2D or completely computer-manufactured and made to look 2D. So the quality of the movement and the execution of the animation is much, much better now than it was back then. The art of it is the same, though, because the heart of the show is the writing and the artist and what they do with it. So that's the same, but they have better tools now. So they really can do something that can really capture the imagination and look different than...
Now, one of the things that we've noticed with, like, Star Wars is this rebirth of something which was iconic and mythic for us as geeks when we were young, and now we have Robotech, which is also the birth of something which was iconic and mythic. I mean, it was the first thing that, as a kid, ever made me cry. It was the first thing where I was like, oh my God, he's not going to, and people are going to die, and what's going on? So what do you think about this new script? Is it holding to those mythic values, or is it going in a new direction?
A little bit of both. My opinion of the script was that, and they worked very hard at it because I was able to be around a little bit with some of the people involved in developing this over the years, just talking here and there. I wasn't involved in the actual development of the show, but the script itself really captures the feel, the taste, and the flavor of the original. But it steps things up. It is a movie,
right.
So it steps the story up a little bit and makes it a little bit more important. It also lays in a new storyline that can be exploited down the line if there are more movies to come, which I don't know if there are or not, so don't look at me that way.
No spoilers here. Thank you so much. Don, do you have any questions for him?
It's all good.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. I'm such a big fan. Be well.
Thank you.
And I'm here with Dan Warren, who played Rick Foker in Robotech.
Okay, first of all, it's Dan Warren who played Roy Foker. Oh. No pressure.
My geek was just showing.
Geek card.
It's just... It's gone.
Is out of the building. The geek has left the building. It's over. No, it is Roy, though. I'm not hurt.
No. Oh... I've broken him. I've broken him.
You've insulted Don Warner. Yeah.
Exactly. It's screwed. It's done.
So, yeah, Roy Foker is part of my life and a very good one, and I'm very delighted that...
How did you get started off in Robotech?
I believe it was your standard audition thing, and I'm older now, and I'm not sure I remember exactly, but there was an audition process, and I was fortunate enough to be selected, and then people liked it, and I was fortunate enough to stick around.
Great. What do you think of this new script and Shadow Chronicles as to what it's going to do for the mythology?
I think there's going to be a great response to the show. And quite honestly, the little bit that I've seen of the animation and a little bit that they've cobbled together to demonstrate to the fan base some point, a part of what's about to happen, it just looks phenomenal. And I'm delighted to be a part of it, and I'm totally anticipating seeing, because I've seen no more than anyone else has, basically, unless they're deep within the project.
When they first showed you Roy Foker, what did they show you? Did they show you an animation cell, what he was going to look like, or what did they show you?
It was probably more just like a carbon copy. It wasn't an animation cell. I mean, you'd be given a let's say an 8x10 piece of paper with a character's picture on it in black and white, or if you're lucky, in color, and a brief character description of what they're looking for that character. Flamboyant, loud, boisterous, believable, whatever.
So what was your take on him initially? Because that's really, between Roy and Rick Hunter, those are really two of the big icons of anime and of geekness. So,
I hope that, what I read into him was that he was maybe a little brash, maybe a little arrogant, but at the same time, incredibly sincere and dedicated to the job that he did, as well as the people that he involved in his life or that were involved with him.
Now, I remember when I was a kid, one of the things about Robotech that really struck me was that, oh my God, this is the first time that I'm seeing people die.
Well, it's a question that I'm asked quite a lot in a lot of different forms, and the God's honest truth is, it was a shock, from the standpoint of being employed and then not being employed.
Right.
That was a reality that was like, what?
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think of that. This is a job going away as well.
Reality for an actor's standpoint is like, but what? Dead? I'm not. Am I a ghost? Do I come back? But then from the standpoint of there was a shock, because animated characters like this, they don't kill.
Right.
You've seen animation since you were a child. I've seen animation since I was a kid. The Roadrunner never dies.
He just falls off something high. It's not like he dies.
Dies, anvils don't kill them. So you wouldn't kill a character that people like. It was a shock, in every sense of the word. And you're saying that you cried about this. I've made a lot of guys cry, which sounds really weird. But you're not the first person that's told me that, and I can almost guarantee you're not going to be the last. And so that, again, to my fortune and humility, in the sense that I'm humbled by the fact that it affected that many people. I'm astounded. It wasn't like, I'm going to die, I better be really make these people feel it. It was like I tried to be as sincere as I could in the situation and maintain that attitude that I figured that Roy would have about what was going on. So
that's fantastic. So now we're here 20 years down the line. What do you think your legacy is with Robotech, besides the fact that you have thousands and thousands of fans surrounding you?
It's a very odd, it's surreal to me. I've said this to a number of people. It's very surreal to me that I've created something that at the time I didn't think I was doing anything but working, basically, and being very fortunate to be able to do that.
Right.
But that I've created something that people can relate to, and I've had a number of people literally tell me they joined the service based upon the values that the character displayed and the attitude with which the character went about his life and his work. And that just blows my mind. And every single person that's told me that is absolutely positive. And there's no negativity in anything they've said. They thank me for that. And it just, that blows my mind completely. So that's a legacy in its own right that I'm so humbled by. It's just like...
Now, are you playing a new new character on the new show?
Yeah, I'm playing General Reinhardt on the new show. A little older than Roy, and more in control, perhaps a little higher up on the echelon service-wise. And again, sincere, gruff.
They're going back to you.
The attitudinal moments. It's a lot of fun. I get to have some great arguments with the actor Richard Epcar, playing. Hold it, we're looking it up now. Shh, don't tell. Looking up Epcar's character, which is the legendary Ben Dixon.
General Lunk? Vince Grant?
Lunk, yeah. General Lunk and Mr. General Reinhardt do have some discussions that are heated, maybe.
Fantastic. All right, well, thank you so much for giving us this interview. You rock. I'm such a fan. Be well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Without you geeks, where the hell would I be?
So all those guys from Robotech all in one place. That's
yes.
Pretty cool.
It was great. It was really, really cool. Especially Rick Hunter, who I always wanted to look like. Well, I do. Don't give me that look.
Was he some big white guy, too?
No.
Matt's always wanted to be white or Japanese, either one.
He's like,
yo, guys suck.
We have a couple other costume guys, and this is funny. We started, we're kind of easing into the weird aspects.
Aaron heard about this tentacle porn thing in anime, and his little eyes lit up. And
he just was intrigued.
he was really strangely intrigued.
I mean, all of a sudden, like, every interview, like, so how do you feel about tentacles?
I just wanted to get down to...
Get down?
I wanted to clear up where this crazy stuff, came from. So anyway, this is the first time we start hearing from.
Okay, we're here with two more fans with great costumes. That's why we pulled you over. What's your name?
Greg.
Stacy.
Greg and Stacy. Okay, well, first of all, we have geeks from all over the place who have different type of geek genres. Not all are anime geeks. So if you were going to suggest a anime movie or show to get into as a starter, what would you suggest to our viewers?
Movie would be Ninja Scroll, and probably an anime would probably be Trigun.
Okay.
I would say for anime, Cowboy Bebop.
And you guys are dressed as what?
I'm Chrono from Chrono Crusade.
And I'm Sister Rosette from Chrono Crusade.
Okay. Here's something that I always wondered about, and you might be able to answer it for me. What's up with the kind of tentacle sex that goes on in all those movies?
That one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because it's really weird, and I don't know what's up with that.
That's right, geeks on, you heard it here. More geeks denying tentacle sex exists in porn.
Have you watched these movies?
I have seen the trailers on some of the sites, but no, I've never paid for nor watched any.
We'll talk to you separately if it gets you off the hook.
No, actually, it's funny because she was joking with me about a month ago that who started selling them on their website?
Excuse me?
Who started selling them on their website that we get the anime, Ren Anime?
Ren Anime.
Oh, right.
They just started selling them on their website about a month or two ago, so she was teasing me about it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for talking to us.
When the stuff about the website, you know.
I know, but I like how she was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
The funny part was when they started talking about, you know, buy that on the website, I kept thinking they're selling tentacles on the website. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You can buy tentacles on the website.
Was it their website or was it
no,
the website
were,
that they
that
go,
they go
to?
And buy tentacles?
I love that interview, though. No one expects the air on Inquisition.
Right.
What's this about tentacles?
You
like tentacles?
You, Peter, talked to this this guy, and I wasn't even there when you did this interview, but this sounds interesting. These guys, they do movie stuff only? I don't know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, the ones that had Hero and stuff like that.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting, and I'm curious to see if they have more books on the movies here.
Hi, this is Peter, and I am with
Sean Sanders, Marketing Director for Dr. Master Books.
Now, I see a lot of the books that you have here are based on or related to movies. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the books that are here?
Sure. Hero is obviously based off of the Hero movie, which starred Jet Li, Maggie Cheung, and... Zhang Ziyi. And we also have Shaolin Soccer, Stephen Chow movie, comedy slash action, as well as Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which kind of goes without saying.
Now, you were telling me a little bit about Hero a moment ago, and you were saying that they were actually making this alongside the movie?
Yeah. The production of the comic actually happened alongside the production of the movie, and the artist, Wing Xing Ma, he actually used the sketches and some of the concept images and storyboards from the movie to actually do the comic. And then when he got to the end, he realized he wanted to do kind of a, well, I won't say much, but he wanted to do a different ending, and he had to get approval from the director of the movie.
So if people wanted to actually see what this different ending is, where would they go to, is there a website or something they could go to get the comic?
Absolutely. You can go to drmasterbooks.com or comic book retail shops around the U.S. You can pick it up.
Great. Thank you.
No problem.
I thought you sounded fine, Peter.
I thought you sounded like me.
I was just saying, when you're talking, you're interviewing, you find yourself kind of going, you feel like you're going, talking like a different language. It's very funny.
Yeah. But that was, I'd be kind of interested in seeing some of those comics, especially if they got. I wish they would get into more of the. The male person.
What is it about dogs and mailmen? I don't get it.
Okay, that's it. Done. Mailman's gone. Anyway, I wish they would do more like the Alien and Aliens or Batman, that type of, you know, taking some of the movies. I would be interested in checking that out.
Oh, cool. Yeah. You just have to check them out. But I was surprised that there wasn't more comic book stuff there. There was a fair amount.
Yeah, but it was minor.
Maybe they try to keep that out just to keep it more a focus. Otherwise, it might get flooded. Here
right.
in America,
probably
just get completely flooded. Maybe they just kind of control that.
Well, speaking of which, we do have the definition of what everything was for those of you out there who are like us and don't know what the exact definition of manga, comics, Japanime, anime is.
Yeah, this guy was pretty cool too.
Yeah, he was, and he was gigantic.
We're here at Manga Video with
Keith Burgess.
Keith, well, we wanted to clear something up because not all of our listeners are anime manga fans. But what is the difference between manga, anime, comic books, Japanimation, all that stuff?
Okay, manga is a term for basically Japanese comics. Anime is the actual animation. Japanimation is just another. Some people say that instead of anime. Comics is pretty much the regular Marvel DC stuff you see. Some people bunch it all together or whatever, say, oh, it's that Japanime comics stuff, whatever. Like, it all has a name, it's just depending on whether or not you want to take your time to use it.
And does your company focuses on any one of those particular things, or?
We focus on basically just all anime. I know our company's name is Manga Entertainment, but basically like the majority of anime comes from manga titles first.
And for somebody who's getting started in all this, what should they look into first as a starting point?
I would look at theatrical releases first, and then check out series like I would check out Appleseed from Genion, which is really awesome. I would check out Argos in the Shell. It depends, because there's so much stuff. It's like, if you're younger, I'd say go for like the stuff like Ray Earth and, you know, something more that has action but not as much violence. If you're older, go for the good stuff.
Well, thank you very much for making time. Oh, you have one?
If you're stranded on a desert island and you could only have one anime, which anime would that be?
It would have to be adult.
Wait, then you know about the tentacle sex. What's up with that?
Tentacle sex is because for a long time they really couldn't show a penis.
Oh!
Which kind of didn't make a lot of sense to me, because most of the tentacles, the tip of it looks like a penis. So.
So what's your island anime?
It would have to be Legend of the Overfiend.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
We are such geeks.
I like how we're in the background, like,
penis.
Oh, penis.
Okay, I know. Just in case you couldn't hear what he was saying, that wasn't our ghost in the shell, that's Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, our ghost.
Yeah, he was selling.
And
yeah,
that is, by the way, a really great title.
Fantastic.
I have seen it. That's one of the best. Mm. And I think
I haven't seen the series based or the sequel.
Oh, you've got to see it. And then really? The other one was Appleseed, I think.
Yeah, Appleseed. Yeah. Great.
They've made a lot of video games out of these, like Dot Hack. Actually, maybe Dot Hack may have been video first. Game first. I'm not sure.
I think it was a video game simultaneously.
Oh, okay.
I think.
But Ghost in the Shell, I know they made a RPG out of as well. So, anyway. We also, actually, I don't know why they let these guys in. We have the Gen Con guys.
Oh, you know what? I was glad to see them. I'm a RPG-er, so I was glad for any chance to suck up to someone who might help us get into Gen Con.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Don came out of this interview with, like, the guy was like, yeah, sure, we'll get you press passes to Gen Con. We'll get you in talking to all the good people. It was great.
Yeah, yeah, so we're set. So we're going
to go to Gen Con in November, I think.
Yeah,
we'll try to get some interviews of people with the new games. I know we don't do a lot of role-playing board games because we don't have time.
We're kind of training for the Gen Con convention that we want to cover because, you know, this is our first time out. We're still learning how to do interviews at all.
Right.
You know, Aaron, our masterful sound engineer, is learning how to put together the interviews onto the podcast.
Seeing I know nothing about sound and I'm the masterful one, that's the reason why we have a couple of mic problems and pops and blips.
Yeah, if we're hurting anyone's ears, we do apologize.
Yeah.
Come on, this is our rough draft. This is our first time out doing this stuff.
Yeah. Figuring it out as we go along.
Exactly. But here is the guy from Gen Con.
All right, this is Don and Matt here. We're with our new good friend, Derek Guder.
Yep, Derek
Guder. I got it right.
He
is with the Gen Con organization. Some of you know, one of the largest gaming organizations in the world.
Could you please just give us a little bit on what Gen Con is?
Gen Con's a long-established gaming convention that started in Minnesota or Milwaukee, like the Midwest, the Great Lakes area. And it's been there for quite a long time. And they focus mainly on gaming. They have role-playing games, CCGs, tabletop games, board games, war games, everything like that. And they recently moved to Indianapolis under new management, and it's enormous. Out there, it's about 30,000 people or so. And Gen Con SoCal, this will be its third year in November. They're branching out. It's a family of conventions, basically. They got some in Europe as well. So they're branching out into Southern California, and it's about, I think, 4,000 people last year. And they're trying to see where else Gen Con SoCal can grow to get its own identity. So they're trying to expand into video games and anime as well.
I was going to ask that. Are you linking up with E3 as well as the Anime Expo like this?
We're not linking up with them, as far as I know. I mean, honestly, I don't know about the details on the video game side. I don't know if we have any official link up. Our connection to Anime Expo is that the SPJA, the society that runs Anime Expo, ran our video room previous years. This year, we're trying to branch out into more than just a video room. We want to have a whole line of anime convention events, and I want to try to get the SPJA involved in that as much as possible, but I was brought on because there's no one at Gen Con who had all the inside information. They weren't as familiar with the anime market as necessarily I was, because I've been running a convention on the East Coast.
Now, some of our listeners might be a little surprised to see a gaming stand in the middle of an anime convention. Is there a strong connection between kind of the gaming geek and the anime geek? And if so, why? What's the crossing point?
Well, the crossing point is a geek doesn't have to be a geek just to one thing. We've had a lot of people who come by who are mad because there's no one selling dice here. And if you go around to the rooms, the tabletop gaming room is pretty packed. I mean, you have some direct crossover with, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! And things like that, but most of the time, I think it's just geeks like geek things, and Dungeons and Dragons is a pretty geeky thing. Anime is a pretty geeky thing. It's a connection. I mean, they're both cool. We like things that are cool, and that's what it really boils down to.
What was your first anime, and what was your first role-playing game?
My first role-playing game technically was Dungeons and Dragons, but then I didn't play that for quite a while. So I ended up selling that, but the first game that got me into it was Vampire and Shadowrun. So I'm one of those, that generation.
One of them.
But now
Damn you, us!
Now I'm back in for third edition, because third edition is good, as opposed to second, which was a nightmare. But anyway, so that's how I got into that. The first anime I watched was Akira and Ghost in the Shell, like so many other people. There was a long night of that, Clockwork Orange, soda, and cans of SpaghettiOs, but I didn't get into it until I came down to college and I started a gaming group. I was focusing on the gaming at the time. I started a gaming group, and everybody in the gaming group was watching anime in the anime club, so I got sucked in that way.
Worst anime, worst RPG.
Oh my god. Worst RPG, there's a lot. Wow. Man, see, you're putting me on the spot here.
What's the first one that came to mind? Be honest.
D&D and Cinnabar, actually. But which one that hurt me the most? Actually, best and worst is Vampire. Best and worst. I love it the most and I hate it the most. Hate it. Love it. Anime, there's way too much anime out there that's really bad for me to give one. Way too much. I love anime, and I'm the first to admit, a lot of it just sucks.
I'm not sure if you should be saying that this loud in a big anime convention.
I mean, it's great. I love it.
All right, so we've seen all this tentacle porn anime out there.
Yes.
Tentacle porn role-playing. How do you feel about this subject?
I should probably say that whenever I think Big Eyes Small Mouth, I don't think BESM. I think BDSM is the acronym that immediately pops into my mind, so I think we don't need to go any further down that ugly road.
Derek Guter, thank you so much for talking with us. Do you have a website if anyone's interested in finding out more about Gen Con SoCal?
Yep. Gen Con is just www.gencon.com. It's GENCON.COM. And there's a link there for SoCal and for all the other shows as well.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
My voice is getting progressively higher as we go out through the convention.
I just like how he proved that he was a geek, too.
Yeah.
Oh, he laid down.
I think BDSM. Yeah, well.
That was awesome. I like
that. Yeah, he was good. The last two interviews clears up some of the strange things we saw at this convention.
That's right. Aaron's curiosity was finally stated.
Yeah. Uh-huh, Aaron's curiosity.
Yeah, you know, exactly, mine. What are you talking about, Don? You were like, you spotted that one, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Aoi?
Yaoi.
We're arguing about that still. The guy says it like 7 times in the interview, and I still can't pronounce it right.
Yaoi.
Well, let's listen.
Yeah, this,
we'll get it down.
This is something I'd never heard of, so I was shocked.
I think it's Yaoi. Yaoi.
I am with
Rob Miles,
who represents
YaoiCon.
I can't pronounce this. I apologize. Now, this is a phenomenon a lot of Americans are not familiar with in anime. Could you explain what Yaoi is?
Yaoi is a manga medium, actually, that MangaCon in Japan have used as doujinshi. It's basically doujinshi based on relationships drawn by women for women about guys who like guys. That's effectively what it is.
Okay. So what core audience does it have? Is it young girls, older women?
Actually, it's mostly older women. Basically, it's targeted at women between the ages of 18 and 34. And that's usually the market. That's the market that we actually challenge, that we actually go after.
So what are some of the popular titles from your line?
Oh, man. I'm not the person to actually ask about that. We do have a fairly strong following of like anime titles such as Gravitation or Kizuna or Level C, which is published by Media Blasters, a couple other shows like that. So I would think that the authors of those manga would be the one that people like the most.
Okay, so this is not the tentacle porn variety of anime. This is what sets it apart from the rest of it.
Well, it's not really what you would call porn. It's more like smut, and it's actually directed. There's a big difference, trust me. And it's actually directed at women. It's actually for women by women, you know. So it just features male. You know, let's see. It features males. You know, the cast are males. The whole, it's like a play with the whole cast being males, no matter what the relationship is. And so it kind of helps women actually become more attached to the characters without having to feel threatened in any way, shape, or form.
Has there been a reception for it in the United States?
Oh, yeah. We run our convention. Our group runs YaoiCon, the convention, in San Francisco. We've been running. This will be our 5th anniversary, and we've grown. We started a show at 550, and now in our 5th year, we're getting close to that 2,000 number. We get women from all over the world. It's not just women from Northern California or the eastern United States. We get women from Brazil. We get women from Germany. We get women from, you know, Australia and from Japan, because the mangaka that are really popular in Japan, they don't ever get to see, but we bring them as guests. We get a guest every year, and it's somebody usually very big, so we get a worldwide woman audience that comes to our show. So we get about 80%, 85% women at our show, and it's all 18 and over.
But everyone's welcome.
Everyone is welcome.
them.
Okay, do you have a website or something in case any of our listeners would be interested in finding out more?
Yes, if you want to find out more about our show, you can go to www.yaoicon.com, and that'll give you all the information you need.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us.
Our asses are going to that convention. 2,000 women all there to see. I mean, come on. It's going to be freaking weird.
Yeah, but it's going to be odd, man.
Yeah, that's why we're going.
It's not porn. It's smut.
I know.
That guy is great.
Oh, I love that. Erotica drawn for women by women about men.
With men. I just gave Don a look at that point and was like, what?
That look made me uncomfortable.
There were a lot of comic books. I mean, there were a lot of magazines there. I mean, the guy had a lot.
Yeah, there was like stacks.
Yeah.
And there was always a group of women around that booth.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently there's an audience.
And this final interview.
We've saved the best for last.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
This guy is freaking weird. He sounded like
Harvey Firestein.
I just love my tentacles. Is that so wrong?
That's not his normal voice. He'd been talking all day, so that's why.
Oh, we're assuming like that's not his normal voice.
No, he says.
No, he
right
said
front.
It. He said he goes, I can't talk. Yeah. So let's, let's listen.
Yeah, this guy
this is
scary.
The final answer on tentacle sex.
Hey there, this is Don. I'm over in the Hentai Yuri booth with Mr.
Andrew. Craig, yes.
Craig, very nice to meet you. Now, could you explain to us what hentai is and where it fits in the whole world of anime?
Okay, well, for starters, hentai is one of those terms that's kind of misused by American fandom. When an American fan says hentai, they mean adult material, porn, smut. When a Japanese person uses hentai, they mean things that would traumatize Larry Flint.
Oh, so tentacles.
Worse. Hentai actually means perverse, literally. When Japanese refers to adult material, they refer to ecchi or skebe. For American terminology, it's porn.
Now, what sets it apart from American porn?
No boundaries. I mean no boundaries. The Japanese porn relies heavily on shock value, and oftentimes figuring out how warped can we get and then going a little further. A lot of it comes to do with the fact that there are old censorship laws still in the books imposed by the Americans during the occupation in the 1940s, which limit how explicit you can be. So they get around that by going subject matter that's over the top. I mean, you will have kind of books that are, well, donkey porn, bestiality, I got a book here that features multi-genitaliate hermaphrodites being molested by tentacles. Yes.
Now, where does this fit in with the world of anime? Is this sort of mainstream with anime? Is it set apart?
Oh,
how is it
mainstream? There are like seven-story porn stores in the middle of Akihabara. You can go to any major manga store, and there'll be an entire floor devoted to this stuff. Unlike, say, here, where porn's kept in the back corner, it's very upfront. Porn is an inherent part of the anime and manga industry in Japan. It's very tied in. In fact, and also, it's not discriminated against. I'd say if an artist does adult material here, they're kind of labeled being a porn artist. In Japan, an artist can do porn then turn legit, or do porn as a hobby. It's worth noting, for example, like Kenakamatsu, the artist of Lathina, did pornographic doujin of Cardcaptor Sakura in his fan days. And in fact, still does porn doujin as a hobby, even though he's still, you know, yes, XL Saga. XL Saga started as an adult doujin. XL herself first appeared as the villainess in a porno doujin that Riko Koshi did again in his fan days, and apparently somebody liked her enough to become the main character of his legitimate series. It's less ghetto-wise, I guess we might put it.
Now, say for example, we were interested in hentai, but we have no exposure to it. What would you recommend as being our introduction to hentai?
I'd probably start with some of the softer, prettier, maybe more story-based things. Despite the fact there is plenty of shock value, you know, tentacle monster sort of thing, there is also some that is actually well-drawn, well-written. Actually, it's a good storyline along with being smart. Of course, if you don't want that, you can just really, hey, that's a great tits on that chick. But anyway, you know, that sort of thing.
Now, what is your personal favorite?
Wow, probably Crazy Clover Club. They are a group that mostly does a lot of tight moon-based books. Fate Stay Night, Tsukihime. very well done stories and very beautiful, very nice artwork. They're more of a softer core, you know, romantic porn, basically.
Now, are there any age restrictions on these? Can you only sell them to adults with an ID?
I mean, even in Japan, this is restricted to adults only. And in fact, some of this, it goes way beyond even what if this was live action, 90% would be illegal. But it's kind of,
must be 60 years old or older to buy.
Yes, must be dead to be able to buy, I think, possibly in some cases. But yeah, this is definitely an adult-only material.
Okay. Do you have a website or anything you'd like to send out to our Geeks On viewers?
Sure. Just hand it. That's our name, handinair.com. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Welcome. Nice talking with you.
Yeah, we don't have any idea what he said either.
I'm going to be talking like this the rest of the day.
Yes, it was
no great. Limits. No limits. I mean, hermaphrodite donkeys with, I mean, like.
The guy was awesome. He was
Do we have pictures of him? Because he matches.
I don't know. We'll have to check. I don't remember.
He was like the Simpsons comic book guy of porn. He was great.
Yes, so he was great.
Yeah, that was
really
crazy.
Cool. He just came over and just. You know, he was willing to talk with us.
So that was our trip to
anime. Our trip through anime land and tentacle sex.
Excellent.
So we are going to, next week, I think we're going to try to get to Comic-Con. I don't know if we're going to be able to do many interviews or not. We're going to try to see if we can get in there.
Press pass.
With the press pass.
Yeah, we're going to see.
I'm not sure if we can, but if we can't, we're at least going to get all the information we can and do our best. So, cool. We have anything else to say?
No, that's it, man.
If you've got questions you'd like to ask of any specific comic viewers out there, or comic fans, or maybe the artists or writers that maybe we'll catch at Comic-Con, send them to us.
Yeah, and we'll try to keep our eyes peeled. I mean, we will be limited on how much time we can do running around with all four of us, but if we can catch some of those people out there... You guys are way bigger comic book fans. So I know you're going to be able to at least spot the right people. I was lost at this anime thing, so.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not just going to spot.
I think I have a couple friends there that are going to be signing there, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Is Mike going to be there?
I think he is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who's Mike?
A friend of mine who used to write and draw The Tick.
Oh, very cool.
A few other things.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I hope you guys have a good geek week. Coming
Rock
up.
It out.
And,
most excellent Geek Week, my Geeklings.
We'll put out some links for people who are selling t-shirts and stuff like that on the website as well.
Yeah, we had a lot of stuff, interviews that we didn't put on here. I know it probably seems like we put everything on this show, it being close to 2 hours.
And
but,
the kitchen sink.
And the kitchen sink. But we have got lots of photos. We're going to have some links and stuff on the internet at geekson.com. Go there also if you want to. We have some forums there. You can chime in. If you don't agree with us, blast into us. We've had a couple hate mail this week.
Yeah, great.
Which is great. We like these type of discussions. The one hate mail, we're not going to read it now, but unfortunately, I think we lost the viewer because of our comments on Star Wars. But, you know, we're going to have lots of opposite opinions. Actually, even between us four, we yell at each other all the time about...
It's pretty rare we're all in agreement on a subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's great. And we hope that our listeners Except for Star Wars. And we're big, you know, for example, we're probably some of the biggest Star Wars fans on the planet, but we're just not going to buy into everything, and we're going to make our voices heard. And we hope, actually, there's some opposite opinions out there. We hope that you keep listening and just write us and, you know, take us down a notch.
Bring it on.
We would love to put some positive opinions of Episode 3 on the air.
Right.
So if any of you have some, do send them in. Maybe we'll read them.
Yeah, and if you want to record a short MP3 file and even put some of your opinions, try to keep it under a minute.
We'll do some viewer audio mail.
Yeah, we'll do some viewer. Oh, I'll put you right on the show. I'm game. So anyway, check out our website and look out for our next episode. And that is about it.
Rock it out.
Go see Battlestar Galactica.
This is my
Fantastic Four.
Stick.
All right, guys. Have a good geek week. Bye.
Bye.